should say his galus. Oh no, the bimeha astara. Bimeha astara. We didn't finish that. That's what we right. The Baal Shem Tov bimeha astara. Let me just bring you up to date. Where we were holding in discussing the life of the Baal Shem Tov, which is basically broken down. The life of the Baal Shem Tov be broken down into three parts. The earliest years of the unhappy childhood, the yosem, the orphan. The next stage was the period of him studying under some mysterious rebbeim teachers, and the period of the hastara, of the concealment. And then is the final period of his life, which is the period of the hisgalus, of the revelation of who he was, and the beginning of the flowing of the wellsprings of the Baal Shem Tov into the world. So we were reading inside from the Shivcha Baal Shem Tov the account of that period of the hastara, of his concealment. Now this is, we're talking about now already after the time that he had left his home village of Akkub. He had left, he was expelled from school basically, and he was not conforming. It's not clear to us exactly what was wrong, but he clearly was not conforming with the accepted norms of the behavior of the typical kid of the time. But at the same time, we're told that he was an extremely precocious student. He was a very, very brilliant young man. At any rate, what we have now is suddenly the Baal Shem Tov surfaces in the city of Brod. That's what we were talking about. Now, Brod was a very important city, a center of learning. And the Baal Shem Tov began to make a name for himself as an incredible chacham, a very wise person whom people were coming to with all questions and to make decisions. People who were coming had sechsuchim, people had difficulties, had arguments, and he was a great chacham. And he was resolving problems and taking care and helping people. He was still single at the time. And one of the disputes that arrived before him was Rabbi Avraham, who would be the father of his future wife. This Rabbi Avraham brought a case to the Baal Shem Tov. He had a dispute with somebody, and Rabbi Avraham had never seen such a remarkable person. He was extremely impressed with the Baal Shem Tov, and he wanted to know more about the Baal Shem Tov. And ultimately, an agreement to marry his daughter was signed. And the Baal Shem Tov had a copy of this, and Rabbi Avraham, the father of the great tzaddik, Rabbi Gershon Kitover, the great Rav of Brod, Rabbi Gershon Kitover, who would be in the future the Baal Shem Tov's brother-in-law, this Rabbi Avraham had a copy of the Tanaim, of the wedding agreement, and so did the Baal Shem Tov. But it was made clear that the Baal Shem Tov did not want this to be made known at this point, and he wanted this to be kept a secret. And finally, the last thing we were up to was if you look, we're at the last page, four lines from the top. Let's just read, we're just going to be to the bottom of this page, that on page 80 it says on it. Four lines from the top. That after the two souls became attached, meaning after Rabbi Avraham and the Baal Shem Tov became attached, they wrote, as it was the custom in those days, the girl didn't have to be present to agree whom she was going to marry. So the Tanoim were drawn up. And it was not known to anybody else. This is the exact lashon we're reading now. It's actually from the Shivcha Baal Shem Tov. When Rabbi Avraham went home, chala baderech, he became ill. He became sick along the way. As cholyo asher yomus bo, the illness from which he would ultimately die. And niftal olam, when he passed away. Vahodiu hadarv lekiel kadisha brad, livno harav hagadol Rabbi Gershom Kitover. And the news was sent up ahead to Brod, to his illustrious son, to Rabbi Avraham's illustrious son, Rabbi Gershom Kitover. The Yovla Avila Haspido Kedin Torah. And of course, Rabbi Gershom went to give a haspid. He went to eulogize his father, as is the law of the Torah. The Kibel Kolak Sovim Shemotzatachas Yado. And then after the Shiva, whatever, Rabbi Gershom began to look at all the papers to try to make some sense out of all the ksavim, the letters, papers, to take care of his father's papers. And over there, much to his surprise, he was very shocked to discover a set of tanoim, an agreement to marry, not a wedding contract, but an agreement, a betrothal agreement, that his father had signed, Shehi Achosu Shel Rabba Reina Rav Gershon, Im Eze Ish Kshishma Yisrael. Some guy. No, some guy. His name is Yisrael. You have to understand, this is one of the most famous families in all of Europe. This is one of the most illustrious families, Rav Gershon Kitever and Rabbi Avram. These are very, very well-known people. So Vehila Pelebeinov, this was a wonder in his eyes. He Aviv HaYishma Forsam, his father was a very famous man. V'ha'eich Yaz HaShidduch in the Chos Darga. How could he make a Shidduch with some unknown? It was Yisrael. The Gamzos in Ploni Almoni, Shlono the Makomo Mishpach, doesn't say the man's town. Usually it would say, Chais Chaim Yankel, it would say from Grodno, Moshe Kapaya from Bialystok. It doesn't say anything. It just says Yisrael. V'yisapra hadov lachosos, Rabbi Gershon went and spoke to his sister. The Kala to be, spoke to his sister. Batoma achar shahukshar be'enei avinu ein lahar achazah. She said, since that was our father's decision, he must have known what he was doing, and we shouldn't, let's not think about it, let's just wait to see what will happen. He was at that time working in some places in Malamed, and he was under contract for a certain amount of time. He waited until that period of Malamdus, of being a Rebbe, of being a teacher, till that ended. And they wanted to keep the Baal Shem Tov, and they made him an offer of more money to stay and to be a teacher. He did not pay attention to this. He couldn't stay. He changed his clothing from the clothing of being a respectable person. I guess as a malamed, he wore a certain clothing, and he put on the clothing of one of the reikim.
Jeans.
Jeans are already good nowadays, Nachum. There's worse than that. So he put on clothing of one of the reikim, which is what the peltzel parva kotzer. The reikim in those days would put on short jackets instead of wearing long coats. So he put on a short. In other words, he wore a nice three piece suit. He put on a short coat. It actually means a peasant's jacket. It means a lumberjack type of a thing. He put on a peasant's jacket. So Chavetz Chaim used to wear that. Chavetz Chaim used to go like that. He put on this peltz, but it was a peltz. It was a plain, very plain coat. The chagur rechava and a wide, like a sash, like a big belt. This was a peasant's clothing. V'yishanes tamo. Now we don't know exactly what that means, but it means that he changed his behavior. Ulushono, and the way that he spoke. V'yelech l'kihila kedisha brod. Now he had to be disguised because he had, when he was living in Brod, which was not so long ago, when he was in Brod, although it was for a short time, he had gained a reputation as a scholar and as a great arbitrator, and he was known. So the Baal Shem Tov, apparently didn't. He presented himself in a certain way, in the way that he changed his clothing, in the way that he acted, in some way his appearances. And he comes to Brod, Lebeis Rabba Reina Rav Gershon, and he goes straight to the house of Rav Gershon Kitever. V'hinei shnei bali dinim yoishun lefanav who amid alayim la'ayin tamid bedinim asher boim lefnei v'yam letzel pesach. There was some din Torah there. There were some people that came to talk to the Rav. Rav Gershon Kitever was the Rav. And he was standing by the opening of the house. He saw the Baal Shem Tov coming, and he thought he was a poor man. So Rav Gershon Kitever took out a coin. He took out a coin to give to the beggar. He wanted to give it to the Baal Shem Tov. So Baal Shem Tov said, "I have something private to discuss with you." They went into a room. That must have been some moment in the life of Rav Gershon Kitever. The Baal Shem Tov takes out the Tanoim. He takes out his copy of the engagement agreement. Takes out his copy. Vayarlo is a Tanoim. Vayomila Hava is Ishti. Famous pasuk. He says like Yaakov Avinu, Hava is Ishti. It's time for me to. I came here to get my wife. Kasherah Harav Hanal. When Rav Gershon Kitever saw this, he said Ishu Ksusa, and he saw his clothing, the Diburov, and his way of speaking. Nisbahel Ma'od. He was frightened. Vinishtoyman and bewildered. Al Hamara Mazois also Avivzal. What did my father do? What kind of a shidduch is this? In other words, there's nothing to talk about. It was his father's handwriting. It was there. And it was all clear. So he couldn't understand, what did his father do? Vayikula Chaisai. And he went for his sister. Vayisapala Eskol HaMa'ora. And he told her whatever happened. Vatoshiv Amarelo Akresh. Shavinu also zos ein laharachav. She said tzedekah. She said our father must have had a cheshbon, and there's and we can't doubt what he did. But b'vadam Hashem yotzei zos, and it must be some Hashem. Even though it looks like he's nobody, but maybe he's going to have, maybe good children will come from him. And our father knew, there's Ruach HaKadosh, that somehow tzaddikim are going to come from this man, with a shidduch with me. So Vayasu came. So what can they do? Vayagbilu zman achasana. And the time was set for the wedding. Vakoydim achupa, we can't imagine the bizyonis of Rav Gershom Kitru, was the Rav Abroad, was the biggest, one of the biggest positions in the whole Europe. Now before the chuppah, the Baal Shem Tov asked if he could have a moment to speak with his kala. The dibur mishto b'seis, so he spoke to her privately. Ve'galah ha'emes, and he told her the truth. Ha'eich u'mah ha'kol kasher la'kol, u'mah ha'kol kasher la'kol. He told her who he was and what was happening, the whole story. Ve'yishova aisa shelo tegala mizeh klal, and he made her swear not to reveal any of this. No matter what difficult times would pass over her, no matter what hardships they would go through, she would not reveal his true identity. They would go through terrible poverty and suffering. So what did Rav Gershom Kitru do? Rav Gershom was a tzaddik, so he got himself this little amara. So he figured, let me start learning with him. We'll begin. So after the chasana, he starts to learn with his brother-in-law, the Baal Shem Tov. Maybe he can hear a little bit the Dvar Torah. The Baal Shem Tov presented himself, he couldn't understand anything. He couldn't learn. Rav Gershom Kitru says, I have to tell you the truth, it's a terrible humiliation for me to have him around, your husband. And if you would like a divorce, it would be very good. Well, be him love, but if you don't want a divorce, I'll tell you what. I'll buy you a horse. Fatisa imai, go travel with him. Go with him someplace. Vilogu bashir taguri, go live someplace else. Kila uchal seis alay cherpa. I can't bear to see your humiliation. I can't carry your humiliation anymore. I can't see this. I can't look at this anymore. Fataskim lo davizeh. So she agreed. Vayelcha bashir yishalchu, and they went away. Beikavul amokim logusham. They found a place to live, which was not far from the brother, but in a tiny little village. And the Baal Shem Tov used to go to be misboided. He would go by himself to meditate and to learn by the mountains, someplace outside of the city of Brod. And what was the parnasa, and how did they make a living? Ki beiz a gimel pamim b'shavua haisa boi lov alasus im agola. The Baal Shem Tov was misbided for most of the week. He would be by himself someplace, not with his wife and then the children afterwards. He would be by himself, becoming a Baal Shem Tov, whatever he was doing, it worked. So the Baal Shem Tov was by himself, and two or three times a week she would come, and he would dig. He was digging there. There was some sort of a quarry of some sort, and that was the parnasa. He would load this onto a wagon. She would take this, I don't know what kind of quarry, a stone or whatever it was, that the Baal Shem Tov used to dig up, and she used to go to the city, and it was sold as some sort of a plaster or whatever it was being used for. But Baal Shem Tov hayim isana tamid. The Baal Shem Tov was continuously fasting. And what did he eat during the week? He said, dig up something in the ground. He would put some flour into the hole, umayim, and some water. And in the warm weather, he would bake this. And he spent years and years in this terrible state of his baidus. This is the description of the Hastar. Now I want you to know of the time of concealment, what happened, and how he married Rabbi Gershom Kitru's sister. Now there are from that time period. I'm not going to go into the Sipurim of the Baal Shem Tov. They're in English. They're all over the place. You can, and it's definitely wonderful and wondrous to read. the Sipur Baal Shem Tov and the Shivcha Baal Shem Tov, but we don't have to start going through all the stories. Therefore, there are many, many things that took place during the time of the Hastara, during the time when he was going through this Hisbardus, this lonely Avodas Hashem, and different events that took place, and there were people in the countryside that knew that there was something unusual about the man, but mostly they thought that he was a loner and he was a Meshuggah, and that he was crazy, and that was the general opinion that people from the villages had about the Baal Shem Tov, and that the contact that they had with the family was minimal, although Rav Gershon Kitever is clear, did not cut off connections to him, to the Baal Shem Tov and his sister, to his brother-in-law and to his sister, but he kept them at a distance because of the embarrassment that he felt for his sister and that he felt for his position of Rav. So, this period of time was going to continue for approximately between 15 and 20 years, this period of the Hastara. Between 15 and 20 years of being by just the two of them, basically. Now, what we're going to talk about now is the Hisgalus. So I'm not going to go into all the stories of what happened during that time. The revelation of the Baal Shem Tov, the third and final period of the Baal Shem Tov's life, which was the Hisgalus. Now, there are a number of nuschos, there are a number of versions as to what happened and how the Baal Shem Tov was revealed. I had photostated it, but I forgot it in school today, so I apologize. But it's okay, I'm going to do part of it inside and I'll say it outside. The Hisgalus, the revelation of the Baal Shem Tov, there are a couple of nuschos. I'll summarize a little bit of one of the nuschos, and then the most important, the most accepted, the most authentic one, we're going to do a piece of inside. According to most opinions, it didn't happen in one shot. There are a couple of things that happened that people began to wonder, and the people began to realize that there's something unique, and not that he's crazy, but that he's holy. And there are a number of events that led up to this. First of all, there is one nusach of the story that also has definite sources in historical fact. That there was a time that it seems that Yontif, occasionally the family would come together. That means that the Baal Shem Tov and his wife would come to be with the brother, with Rav Gershon. And it seemed that it was a Chol HaMoed Sukkos, and they were in shul, and the Baal Shem Tov was not putting on tefillin. The Baal Shem Tov put on tefillin. It says in the Zohar not to put on tefillin. Now, the Jews, they were Ashkenazim, and apparently they were putting on tefillin on Chol HaMoed, and so was his brother-in-law at that point. So his brother-in-law asked him, why don't you put on tefillin today? So the Baal Shem Tov answered, I read in a German or Yiddish book that it's better not to put on tefillin. Rav Gershon went crazy. What kind of thing is this? An Amoris, and he's passing from some Yiddish storybooks that he read. And what kind of thing is this? We put on tefillin. And Rav Gershon got very angry. He said, I want to go with you, since you're my brother-in-law, I can't force tell you what to do, but we should go to a big tzaddik, a big rav, to tell you how to behave, how to act. So as the story goes, so Baal Shem Tov said, okay. So they went to, there was a very great tzaddik. According to most opinions, it was the tzaddik of Rav Moshe Mekitev, was a very big mekubal and a great tzaddik, a tremendous Kabbalist and tzaddik. And they went to, they're going to go to Rav Moshe Mekitev. Now as they're going in, the Baal Shem Tov walks in, he doesn't kiss the mezuzah. And Rav Gershon Kitev is very angry about that. You know, he's embarrassed also, going into the big tzaddik, and he wants at least that his brother-in-law should at least give a kiss to the mezuzah. It's bad enough he's not maritz, he's a boor, he's nothing. At least to kiss the mezuzah, even the religious people kiss the mezuzah. So Rav Gershon starts to argue with him already at the door, about to come back, because the Baal Shem Tov just went inside. Rav Gershon Kitev kisses the mezuzah, and they go inside. When they come inside, Rav Moshe Kitev stands up, he's overwhelmed, he sees light coming from him, he sees this Rav Moshe Kitev sees that this is a, and he's taken aback by the light that's coming from the Baal Shem Tov. He's like blinded. And then the Baal Shem Tov concealed himself somehow, whatever it means. The Baal Shem Tov covered that, and the Rav Gershon, the Rav Moshe Kitev sat down. And then again the Baal Shem Tov, and this was going on, and this Mekubal, and Rav Gershon Kitev couldn't figure out what's going on. He sees the tzaddik standing up, standing down, standing up, standing down, and he's turning around, and he's afraid, and then he's coming back. And Rav Gershon can't figure out what's going on. And then what happened is that this Rav Moshe Kitev saw something is odd. He just sat there and he knew Rav Gershon. He said, "What is it, Rav Gershon? What's the matter?" So Rav Gershon starts to complain that my brother-in-law, he's not Maritz, and he doesn't. Now the latest thing is he read in some Yiddish book. He's not putting on tefillin on Chol HaMoed, and you see he doesn't even know, he doesn't kiss the mezuzah like all decent Jews will kiss the mezuzah. We have to straighten him out. So Moshe Kitov saw this is not this. This is something here with this person. So he says, let me speak to him. They go into the room. Moshe Kitov says, I don't know who you are, but there's something. You're not a normal person. And tell me what's going on. So the Baal Shem Tov told him the truth, and the Baal Shem Tov was geyser on him. The Baal Shem Tov said to that tzaddik that he forbids him to reveal his identity, and Reb Moshe agreed. And when they came out from the room, Reb Moshe Kitov said to Reb Gershon, I told him off, and he's going to be fine. He's going to behave, right? And the Baal Shem Tov says, yeah, I'll do whatever you say. And after he left, the second they left, Reb Moshe Kitov went and he took down the mezuzah right away. And he opened the mezuzah, and the mezuzah was possible. And he understood that, of course, that there's an Ish Kaddish V'Naira, that the Baal Shem Tov was an Ish Kaddish V'Naira, but he kept to his word until later on. By this Gals, the Baal Shem Tov and the Moshe Kitov also, then this story was afterwards was allowed to be told. But this was the first stage at the beginning of the revelation of this Rav Moshe Kitov. The second phase is very, very odd, and I'm sure most of you know that there's something something bizarre that's been taking place that took place within Klal Yisrael recently, and it has to do with the removal of a dibbuk, the exorcism of a dibbuk, and what happened over here, which is brought down by Rabbi Yaakov Yosef, who was later on, of course, the Rabbi Yaakov Yosef was with Baal Shem Tov's great, one of his greatest students, the author of the Toldos Yaakov Yosef. So again, we know this is first-hand information that we have. I don't want to go into all the pratim, to all the details, but this is once again, Rabbi Gershon Kitov was trying to do something about his brother-in-law. He was having a hard time with him. So there was a certain Isha Achas Mishugaz. There was a crazy lady that had the reputation of being possessed. There was something wrong. She was possessed. But one of the advantages of that was that people used to go ask her things, and she used to say good aces. She knew what was going on. And people, even though she was crazy, and people were afraid of her, they used to go to her, and she used to scream out things, and then it was good. They found they would know what to do. It was with curses and screaming and yelling, but in the midst of it, there was a good aitzah. So and she used to tell everybody there are veiras, and you know, people were afraid of her. So this woman was in the area, and Reb Gershon Kitover. Wanted his brother-in-law, the Baal Shem Tov, to go to this possessed lady, this Mishagaz, this crazy lady, that maybe she'll scare him and give him Musa and tell him his Averis and get him back on track, that he should be normal, that maybe she'll straighten him out somehow. So they went there to this lady, and they also Reb Moshe Kitover, that tzaddik that we spoke about a moment ago, Reb Moshe Kitover went also, and when Reb Moshe Kitover walked in, so she said, Baruch Haba Kodesh V'Tahar. She welcomed the holy person, Reb Moshe from Kitov. And then she also welcomed the Reb Gershon in a respectful way. And then when the Baal Shem Tov came in, she said, Baruch Haba Reb Yisrael. Welcome Reb Yisrael. That's what this, you know, anyway, she never met them. So welcome Reb Yisrael. And he was still a young man. And then she went on the side, and she told the other two to go away. Right? She went on the side, and she said, Ata sober shani mefachim emcha. She says she was shaking. She says, do you think that I'm afraid of you? When you say that means you're afraid, right? Do you think that I'm afraid of you? What makes you think I'm afraid of you? So she says, I'm not afraid of you, because I know that in Shemayim you're not allowed to use any names of Hashem or perform any miracles until you're 36 years old. So I'm not afraid of you. You're not going to do anything to me. I have no fear of you. So that's what she said to the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov didn't answer, and then she went back, Reb Gershon thought that she was telling the Baal Shem Tov whatever is a various word, telling him Musa. Then what happened is that Reb Gershon asked this possessed lady, no, what did you tell him? So she starts to say, I told him he can't do any miracles. And then the Baal Shem Tov gave, it says, she starts to say this, and she goes about Baal Shem Tov, the Baal Shem Tov gave her a look. The Baal Shem Tov gave her a strong look, and he said that if you're not going to be silent, I'm going to return you to the place where you came from. Meaning not the woman, he didn't mean any harm to the woman, but the neshama that was possessing the woman. So she started, it says, she began to cry. Honey, please don't do, I'll be quiet. Don't do anything, I'll be quiet. So then what happened is that there was some chassidim there. They were watching this whole thing, and they realized that, how come no one's paying any attention to this young man? It seems that the only one that the dibbuk was afraid of was him. And they went and they asked the Baal Shem Tov, why don't you help the lady out and remove the dibbuk, you know, remove this this presence that is torturing, that's making this woman's life miserable. So the Baal Shem Tov said it's very dangerous to do, he doesn't want to do it. But they didn't leave him alone. So in the end, the Baal Shem Tov did go quietly with that woman and spoke to the dibbuk, and an agreement was made that shouldn't be revealed who he is. But he healed the woman, and then after that, the dibbuk was away, and she was fine. And what's interesting is that Neshiv Chaim Baal Shem Tov, his brother, I mean, this was known to Reb Gershom Kitev, that his brother-in-law, who until now he thought of as some peasant, as some idiot, that his brother-in-law was somehow, it seemed, was responsible. It was really known among the people in that area that when I say the Chassidim, they weren't Chassidim yet, but meaning they were righteous Jews there that already saw the Baal Shem Tov as somebody who was a Baal Maifis, who was a miracle worker, or at least someone who knows how to remove a dibbuk, which was not a simple matter. One has to be familiar with Sisrei Torah, with secrets of Torah. So it's brought down that in the Shivcha Baal Shem Tov, the Rabbi Gershon began to become less angry with the Baal Shem Tov, but he still was convinced that a mistake was made. And now we come to the final event that actually brought about the Hizgalus of the Baal Shem Tov, and that he became known as the Baal Shem Tov. And here, I'm going to go through piece by piece. It was drawing near to his 36th birthday, and that was the time that he was told that he was taught by Rabbi Adam Baal Shem Tov that he would be allowed to reveal his identity. And it happened that one of the students of Rabbi Gershon was on his way to visit Rabbi Gershon, to visit the Baal Shem Tov's brother-in-law. And on his way, he was passing through the village, and he went, and he knew the Baal Shem Tov, and he knew that he was a very good-natured man, and that he would take him in, he needed a place to stay for the night or something, to stay a little bit. So he came to the Baal Shem Tov, and it was on a Tuesday, when Rabbi Gershon's students stopped by the Baal Shem Tov in the village. The Baal Shem Tov was very nice to him, and he gave him to eat. And afterwards, the student of Rabbi Gershon said, Yisrael, tachin li asusim she'esem miyad. This is the Shivchei Baal Shem Tov. In other words, he's something like a little boy. He said, go prepare the horses. This is an important student. We don't know his name, but he was one of the great Talmid Chacham. He said, go prepare the horse. I have to go travel. I have to go to see your brother-in-law, my rabbi. And the Baal Shem Tov went and he prepared the horse and with the wagon and so on. And after that, the Baal Shem Tov said, I really would wish you could stay here for Shabbos. I would very much enjoy you being here for Shabbos. And the student of Rabbi Gershon laughed and he said, what would I have to talk with you about? I don't think I could bear it from now until Shabbos, and I have more important things to do. And he went a little bit away from the village and the wheel broke. He left the Baal Shem Tov and the wheel of the wagon broke. So he walked back to get another one, and he went and he replaced it, and he continued going, and then another wheel broke. This happened four times, and then he had to go back, he schlepped the whole thing back to with the horse back to town, back to the village, and it was already, they couldn't be fixed right away. It was already, the kids, it was already Friday, and he couldn't leave, and he was very upset about this. What am I going to do in this little village with this nobody? In the meantime, the Baal Shem Tov's Rebbetzin, the wife of the Baal Shem Tov, is getting ready for Shabbos, and she's baking 12 challahs for Shabbos. Now, for the Shabbos table, 12 challahs is a Rebbetzin thing. So the student asks, why are you baking 12 challahs for him? So she said, just because my husband is an Amaretz, Mabakach, Adam Kashu, V'kasharisi Achi, Ayisa Kiddush, Ayud Beis Challahs. And he always said, just because my husband is an Amaretz, therefore he shouldn't do the right thing. My brother, I always saw my brother had 12 challahs. So I also want my husband to have 12 challahs. He doesn't know what it means, but I'd like to make 12 challahs. But Yishalai Sonim Yesh Etzla Merchatz, is there any place to wash? Is there a bathhouse? But Tom, yeah, there's also a Beisat Tefillah, there's also a mikveh. So he asks, Zlomo Lechem Beisat Tefillah, he never imagined that the Baal Shem Tov would go to mikveh. Why do you need to have a mikveh? He says, Bali, you Adam Kosher, my husband's a... So he was very upset. Vine Gia Heisla Spala Mincha. So now it's Friday afternoon, it's time to have a mincha. So he asks, where's your husband? He's out in the fields with the animals. He says, what do you mean, he's not coming to daven? We have to daven, it's Shabbos. So he didn't, he says, I don't know. So he didn't come, and the student davened by himself. There wasn't even a minion in that place. He davened by himself, and it was Kabbalah Shabbos, and Marv, Adayin lo Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem Tov still didn't come. He was spiraled the basis of the Dusa, because he was, the Baal Shem Tov was davening in that place that he had for himself out in the fields. He had some room where he used to be secluded. He came in, but here it says Shina Taimer Levushu Diburo. He changed his way of dressing and his way of talking, and he said Shabbos. He said good Shabbos. He said, "You see, I told you it would be here for Shabbos, and here you are." And he made believe he was davening. He already davened, but he went to the wall and he davened fastly. And he made like he was davening. The Balshemtev knew that if he makes Kiddush, his great level of holiness would be revealed, because he wouldn't be able to control his. So therefore, it wasn't the time. So he told the student, he was mechabed, "You're my guest. Why don't you make Kiddush?" And they ate, and they ate a meal. And they were happy, the Baal Shem Tov and his wife, but the guest was very, very upset. He couldn't believe he got stuck in this. So the Baal Shem Tov said to him, "Rabbi, I'm more than a Divrei Torah." He says, "Rabbi, maybe you can say a Dvar Torah." He said to say a Dvar Torah. And that was Parshas Shmos that week. So you imagine, so this Talmud Chacham said to the Baal Shem Tov and his wife, just a story, what happened, that we were in Mitzrayim. You know, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. I mean, not even the little Medrash says, you understand, just the story that Hashem took us out, and we were slaves, and he told them, Toshit, you know. It says they got a bed ready, they made him a bed over there to sleep by the Shulchan, and the Baal Shem Tov went to the room, and it was Bachatzi Halayla, it was at midnight. There's a very famous paragraph here from Shulcha Baal Shem. And the guest saw that there was a great fire that he thought was coming from the stove. Now, you know, that's how it was very dangerous, how they heated up the homes. So he saw it from the stove. He thought there was a fire, that the wood was catching fire. But he saw that it wasn't a fire at all, but just that there was an unbelievable light that was shining. A light that was shining. And he became very frightened by his aleph, and he passed out. The hero saw, and they brought him to. The Baal Shem Tov said to him, "Lahoy l'chol estaka d'mashal lo yoshaisa." You shouldn't have looked at what you weren't permitted to see. V'hila pele b'einav. So the student is getting nervous. There seems very wondrous in his eyes. V'hiba boiker. Now it's the morning. Shabbos morning. V'yelech l'beisis b'dudusa. The Baal Shem Tov went by himself to daven. V'vo l'beisa b'os amech v'tayv lev. He came with simcha. The Baal Shem Tov came back. And the sea is Vahalch Rabesa on of honor, Vizama Sadil Sadusa, Vasa Kedusha Rabbi Kedaka, but the Vekus Nifla. The concealment is finished. The Baal Shem Tov now, he came and he began to sing and he began to say, and he said Kiddush with his powerful way of saying Kiddush. And he asked the guest to say Dvar Torah during the meal. He wasn't sure. He doesn't know if this is the biggest tzaddik in the world, or he doesn't know what to make of this. The student was confused. So he said a certain simple teaching. The Baal Shem Tov said, "I heard a different explanation." And after Mincha Bob is Galus Vama Divrei Torah, the Baal Shem Tov came back and he said Divrei Torah by the third meal by Shalosh Sudas, Rosen Daraisa, secrets of Kabbalah, secrets of Torah. That no human ear had ever heard. Now the Baal Shem Tov told, it was Gezer Lov, the Baal Shem Tov decreed upon this student, Gezer Lov, Sheyisel Arab Morena Rab Gershon. Go back to your Rebbe, to my brother-in-law, with the Loya Galazais. Don't tell him what you saw. Ki im Sheyelech Lakata Chasidim Agadol Mashahoyo Behir. But instead, go to the other tzaddikim there was a group of tzaddikim that to which Reb Gershon belonged. But go to the other tzaddikim, to the Rav, that's the Rav Moshe from Kitov, go to them, and say this, there was a great light on the outskirts of your community. And you should bring him to this. You should bring this light into the city. The Moshe Kitov understood what was happening, and they understood that this was in fact the Baal Shem Tov, and they began to understand all the odd behavior and so on, and the Moshe knew that he was a tzaddik. The Nisku Alkola, please, Shahilam Alav, they understood now all the questions they had about him and the contradictions. Shata kol tov yosha. Now they understood. V'holchu kulam l'kfar shelo. And all these tzaddikim from abroad went to the village of the Baal Shem Tov l'vakesh osu sheyova ha'ira, to ask and ask him to come to the city. V'Baal Shem Tov ra mikoyde v'nosa l'ir v'hem yotzu l'krosa. And the Baal Shem Tov went to the city. U'kshapogu zebezer yardu kulam. He told them to go back to the city. And when the Baal Shem Tov came, they came out from the city to greet him. V'also bayar kisei me'anfei ilonos. They made a chair on the spot out of branches. V'oshivu aleihem. And they had the Baal Shem Tov sit on this chair. V'kiblu ayisa l'rav aleihem. V'Baal Shem Tov omar lefneim devetar. And they accepted the Baal Shem Tov as their Rebbe. And the Baal Shem Tov began to say Divrei Torah. What's interesting here is the fact that the Rebbe Geshem Kitever was specifically excluded from that first event. But it's known that from this point on, Rebbe Geshem Kitever, which is much to his credit, began immediately to be machni himself. He cried and asked for mechila and he begged forgiveness. The Baal Shem Tov told him, as is brought down, that this was, don't worry, this was what was supposed to be, and I had an agreement with your father. And Rebbe Geshem Kitever became the Baal Shem Tov's closest disciple. This brother-in-law who had been embarrassed, and he embarrassed the Baal Shem Tov and so on, the Baal Shem Tov became his greatest disciple. The story that we have of the first actual refuah. Now remember, the Baal Shem Tov was called Baal Shem Tov because he was a master of the good name. That means that he would go from town to town, from village to village, and he would see people who were sick or people who couldn't have children, and he was using Shemus, Yehudim, names of Hashem, and so on, to daven and to bring about Yeshuas for these people. So it's brought down in the Shivchei Baal Shem Tov, and this was actually the time that he began. He began to become known as a Baal Moifis and as a Baal Shem Tov. What happened was that there was a certain paritz, a landowner, a Gentile landowner, who had a daughter that had fallen into a shigaon gadol, a daughter that became crazy, and they had heard, this landowner had heard that there was a great tzaddik nearby. That was the Baal Shem Tov. There was a great tzaddik, and the landowner said that they should ask him to come here. And if he's able to heal my daughter, then everything will be fine for the Jews. But if he cannot heal my daughter, then all the Jews from the entire vicinity are going to be suffering a pogrom and are going to be driven out and tortured and so on. So they came and they told the Baal Shem Tov about this. And the Baal Shem Tov asked, Maharash, what's all the rash? The Baal Shem Tov came to that place, and the Baal Shem Tov said that he would agree. He wouldn't go into the house of the pirates, of the landowner.
That's right, his mother.
His mother?
The call before mine.
Okay. So the Baal Shem Tov did not agree to go into the wouldn't agree to go into the house unless he took out all the crucifixes and all the getchkelach and whatever he has over there, everything to take out from the house, and no one's allowed to stay in the room. So there was a certain priest that hid in one of the closets to see what the holy man is going to do. And the Baal Shem Tov stood outside, and he said that there's a priest that's hiding, and he's not going in. There's someone that's hiding there. And the Baal Shem Tov said where he's hiding, and he was removed. And the Baal Shem Tov went in there and came out a few moments later, and the daughter of the pirates was completely healed. That was the beginning, and from that time on, Baal Shem Tov became known as a Baal Shem, as the master of the good name, and people by the hundreds and by the thousands began to seek him and began to come to him for refuahs and for yeshuas. This is still before the period that he was actually gathering disciples and teaching. He was not yet teaching. He did not yet have a following of disciples. The beginning of his career was a Baal Shem, and that's why we still call him the Baal Shem Tov. The beginning of his career was bringing refuah and helping people who were sick. Now, what we're going to talk about right now, just the last few minutes, we'll just at least start with it. Before we can discuss the Baal Shem Tov as a teacher and as a master who gathered some of the most gifted tzaddikim and students of that time who would become his disciples, it's important to discuss a certain sugya that's known about the Baal Shem Tov, and we'll discuss the sources as well. And that's the issue of his relationship to Achya HaShiloni. Now, Achya HaShiloni might be a name that's new to some of you. We'll talk a little bit about about Achi Shiloni tonight a little bit. We'll start and then Mitzvah next week. Achi Shiloni was a Navi, was a prophet. Not only was Achi Shiloni, who's mentioned in Sefer Malachim, not only was Achi Shiloni a Navi, but Achi Shiloni, according to Chazal, was Miyotzei Mitzrayim. That he had actually been amongst those who had left Mitzrayim, and he was also later on, he was on the Bezdin of David HaMelech. And he was the Rebbe Muvak. He was the Rebbe of Eliyahu HaNavi. Achya HaShiloni HaNavi is one of the most mysterious personalities in the entire Tanakh. And he was the Rebbe of Eliyahu HaNavi. Rebbe Yaakov Yosef, and the Talmud Yaakov Yosef said that he was the Rebbe of Mori Zichro L'Chayilom Haba. That Achya HaShiloni was in fact the Rebbe of the Baal Shem Tov. Which seems like a very, very absurd thing to say. Achi Shiloni was a prophet from the time of the Nevi'im. And we have to try to investigate this a little bit further. The Baal Shem Tov himself called Achi Shiloni Mori Mirabi, and we'll talk about that. He called Achi Shiloni his master, his teacher. To read you another quote from Rabbi Yaakov Yosef. Shamati b'shem Mori. I heard from my teacher, from the Baal Shem Tov. Kishaholach b'nesiyah hayidua. When he went for the known journey, that means when the Baal Shem Tov was on his way to Eretz Yisrael. The Baal Shem Tov never made it to Eretz Yisrael. He only made it as far as Constantinople, Istanbul. And in Turkey, he turned back. The purpose of the Baal Shem Tov's trip was to meet the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. It was known to the Baal Shem Tov that were he to be able to get to the Or HaChaim HaKadosh before the Or HaChaim HaKadosh would die, that would mean the final redemption, that Mashiach was going to come. And tragically, while the Baal Shem Tov did not make it, and the Or HaChaim HaKadosh passed away while the Baal Shem Tov was in Turkey. And then he turned back, and he returned back to Europe, to Mezhbiz.
Did Gershon go to Israel?
Rabbi Gershon Kitover went there to Israel. Rabbi Gershon Kitover was in Israel, and he's buried in Eretz Yisrael. He's buried in Tveria. And that's Rabbi Gershon Kitover he became one of the heads of the cut of the Hasidim, of the group of the Hasidim, that were the earliest settlers of Ashkenazim at that time in Eretz Yisrael, the earliest settlers of the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, and later on he would be met by Reb Mendel Vitebsker, Reb Avram Kalisker, who are also buried there in Tveria. And that was where the first yeshuv of the students of Baal Shem Tov was actually in Tveria. And so Reb Gershon did go to Eretz Yisrael, but the Baal Shem Tov never made it there. So Reb Yaakov Yosef writes, Shamati b'shem Mori, kishaholach b'nesiyah hayidua, when my Rebbe, when the Baal Shem Tov went for that, on his way in that journey to Eretz Yisrael, Herlo Rabba b'mokam zeh hayim rumas b'tayra, that his Rebbe showed him different places that are hinted at in the Torah. V'chein kishenishbar lo hasfina, when the Baal Shem Tov's boat was broken, something happened to the Baal Shem Tov's boat. V'haya be'etzav gadlan, the Baal Shem Tov was very upset, he was very depressed, he saw there's a bad sin that he wasn't going to make it, he wasn't going to get there to Israel. U'bo rabbo, his Rebbe appeared, achya shiloni v'herlo be'eza oylam asu achshav. And he showed the Baal Shem Tov what oylam is, I don't know what that means, what worlds, where he was, what oylam is he was in. Let me just read to you quickly additional sources from Rabbi Yaakov Yosef, from the closest disciple of the Baal Shem Tov, regarding Achi HaShiloni, this Navi in the life of the Baal Shem Tov. Shamati Miisha Echad, Usmo Reb Zev, Achiv Shu Ableib Chasid Milunitz, Asher Kova Dirosa Be'eretz HaKadosh, Yosef Mishleishim Shonav Niftav Yushalami HaKadosh, Vagam Reb Zev HaYolandin V'yoy Shamayim Shiroi Laham Neilov, Vagam Harad Dikila Sinir Shamayiti B'nusach Acher, That one time the Baal Shem Tov was very, very sick. Actually, the Baal Shem Tov was so sick he couldn't speak. And the Baal Shem Tov's followers were there. And he hinted to his students that they should put tefillin on him. And he was wearing his tefillin. And then the Baal Shem Tov began to speak. And they asked him, what is it? The Omar Shinimsolov Averish also Bikitnuso. The Baal Shem Tov said that there was a certain Averi he remembered from the time that he was a child. Ubaharab Shalov Vodio. And my Rebbe, the Baal Shem Tov said, my Rebbe came to tell me. Nobody saw any Rebbe there. So the Baal Shem Tov had, we're familiar with the idea of Gilui Elio, a revelation of Elio Hanavi. We're not familiar with the concept of Gilui Achya Ashiloni. But that's exactly what happened over here. And his Rebbe told, my Rebbe told me, Mehera halbeish tefillin, quickly put on tefillin. And the Baal Shem Tov said that afterwards I put on tefillin, and then there was a nochri, a guy, that came in with an axe to chop off my head, and he wasn't able to come to me because of my tefillin. He started screaming at me in Russian, Hashlech melech aris, throw off those leather skins, throw off the tefillin. And he was screaming and screaming. I didn't pay any attention until he disappeared. So here we have also in the earliest, from the earliest Talmid Baal Shem Tov, that the Baal Shem Tov on a regular basis referred to his teacher. And the teacher that he was talking about, that he told Rabbi Yaakov Yosef and other students of his, was the Novi, the prophet Achya Shiloni. And there are other very, very remarkable stories about the Baal Shem Tov mentioning Achya Shiloni. The question that we're going to just present now, we're not going to really get to it tonight, is why Achya Shiloni? Who was Achya Shiloni? Who was this Novi Achya Shiloni? He's mentioned very, very briefly in Tanakh, in the context of the story of the famous king from the house of Yosef, Yeravam ben Nevat. Now, Yeravam ben Nevat, unfortunately, is one of the most infamous people in our history, a person of extraordinary talent, brilliance, and Torah, tremendous, tremendous potential, who unfortunately went off the derech, went off the track, and was responsible for bringing idol worship, being chayto machti, causing the Jewish people to sin, preventing the Jewish people from going up to Yerushalayim to celebrate the Yom Tov in Yerushalayim, and many other terrible, disgraceful things that Yeravam ben Nevat did. That name is associated in our history with evil, Yeravam ben Nevat. But he was such a great person that you know that Hashem made him an offer that he did refuse. And the offer was that Hashem said that if you do tshuva, then you, I, and Ben Yishai, meaning David, that we'll go together in paradise, we'll walk together in paradise. And the famous question of Yeravam ben Nevat was, Mi Barosh? I don't like the order. Who's in front? Me or Ben Yishai? Me or David? So Hashem told him, Ben Yishai is Barosh, and that was Yeravam. Didn't like that answer, but we don't get offers like that, you understand? So the fact that there was such an offer, so the this appearance of Achya HaShiloni, who is much less famous, people didn't hear of him unless they're familiar with the Chassidim. Or they heard the Baal Shem Tov, they heard Achya HaShiloni, or they learned Tanakh very well. They learn Tanakh very well. You know, if you're in the Chidon for Tanakh or something, you'll know Achya Shiloni. But it's not very well known. His student, Elion Novi, is the famous one, not the Rebbe Achya Shiloni. The question is, who was Achya Shiloni? What role does he have in Sefer Melachim? Why was this the man that was sent to be the Rebbe of the Baal Shem Tov? There must be something unusual about Achya Shiloni that qualified him as the Rebbe of the Baal Shem Tov. It's really, the answer to that is something that we don't know for sure. The Baal Shem Tov never explained why. There are a number of theories that are found in the Svarim to explain why Davka Achya Shiloni. The key to the entire thing is a Gemara in Sanhedrin Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, the bottom of Kuf Beis Amud Aleph on top. That's the key to the mystery of Achya Shiloni, which we'll talk about, Mitzvah Shem. We'll begin with that next week. But kind of to get a little bit of a picture, to take a look in Sefer Melachim, they were talking about the time when there was the split of the kingdom of Yehuda and Yosef, Yehuda and Ephraim. Achya HaShiloni was actually pivotal in that decision to divide the kingdoms into two. Yeravam would lead the kingdom of Yosef of the Ten Shvatim, and of course Rechavam would lead the kingdom, would be the king over Yehuda. Achya HaShiloni was the one who advised this, and Achya HaShiloni was the one who did a symbolic act to indicate this must take place. And Achya believed that Yerushalayim would remain the capital and the Beis HaMikdash would remain the center of Jewish life. And Chazal say that he made a mistake. But we'll talk about what's Achya HaShiloni with the Baal Shem Tov. We'll continue with some of that next week.